As the NBA gears up for the playoffs, Zion Williamson and the Pelicans are preparing to head home.
The Pelicans were officially eliminated from playoff contention, joining the Sacramento Kings, also on the block now.
I'm very disappointed in the Pelicans' performance all across the board.
Today, The Athletic's Will Guillory joins us to look back on Zion's roller coaster of a rookie season and to ask if it's time to adjust our expectations around the NBA's most hyped player in recent memory.
That's a big question, is just how is he going to handle it and how is he going to respond? I think the great players we've seen in this league, when the doubts happen, the greats rise. And if he can do that, then we're going to see him being one of the biggest stars in the league, and I think one of the biggest stars in sports.
From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Andres Kelto.
And I'm Kavitha Davidson. It's Wednesday, August 12th, and this is The Lead.
It felt like something great was happening.
There was just something about the emotion and that moment.
You gotta go faster, faster!
The failures of the past don't matter because we've got this guy.
Are you kidding me? I've never seen anything like that.
That's not good news.
This isn't a story where you interview the athlete and go home. It stays with you.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/business.
So, Will, let's start 10 months ago, back, you know, in the before times. Can you remind us how good Zion Williamson looked in preseason?
Oh, man, it was incredible. I still remember that first game in Atlanta.
Rattles out. Collins fights for it and comes up with it. Took it away.
And I can still see the play in my mind of him getting the dribble handoff from Jrue Holiday at top of the key, his first shot attempt. And he just takes one dribble and just cocks it back and throws down this huge dunk.
He does a good job.
And it's like, okay, I guess he's able to carry over what we saw at Duke. I mean, just the incredible athleticism and power he brought to the game. And it was like, wow, this guy might be really good. And I remember the one that really stood out to me was the first preseason game in New Orleans against Utah. And we got to see Zion against Rudy Gobert, you know, the defending defensive player of the year, arguably the best defensive player in the entire league. And he went directly at Rudy a couple times in that game and got a layup, had a putback dunk over Rudy.
Zion stays ready for the hammer.
I'm going to say it again, Joe. That's not normal. That's not normal. You don't shoot it.
A few of the media members, I remember we were sitting in the media room after the game, and we were like, okay, this guy might be serious. And it might not be in the future. He might be this good right now.
And what were the expectations for Zion as the season was about to start, particularly on the part of the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, they put him literally in the first game of the start of the season in Toronto, you know, that first game against the Raptors in the ring ceremony, and to see a rookie being put in that game against the defending champs, that tell you everything you need to know right there. I mean, he was one of the biggest box office draws, I would say, in the past decade when he was at Duke, and I think the NBA was expecting him to be that same kind of, you know, TV presence. They had so many national TV games, and they put them against so many of the heavyweights early in the season. The NBA was expecting him to come in and be one of the biggest stars in the league immediately, which is a lot to put on a 19-year-old.
But then, of course, just as his NBA debut was about to happen, he had this major setback.
Just 4 days before Zion's NBA career was scheduled to start, word that he will miss a period of weeks to start this regular season because of a troublesome right knee. It's the same knee that he injured when he blew through his shoe at Duke, and he banged it up.
he's such an abnormal looking guy when he's on the court. He's so big, 285 pounds. He can jump and do 360 windmills. And to have that much power in a body like that, I think the concern for a lot of people we've seen in the past is those big, powerful, athletic guys, when they have their first knee injury or a foot injury or a back injury, it tends to change them. And that athleticism doesn't look the same, and they end up playing differently. And the big concern for Zion, it was, how was it going to affect him? And I think that was a scary thing for a lot of people, seeing him have a knee surgery that early in his career.
Zion Williamson out for what looks to be 2 months, and it's a torn meniscus. And the reason why I think this is a bigger deal, and this might be something that is going to be with him the rest of his career, but the meniscus is the cushion. When you're jumping up and down,
usually guys come back at around, you know, 6 to 8 weeks with an injury like that. And Zion ended up being out until, you know, the end of January. And, you know, I think a big part of that was the Pelicans not just wanting to get his knee right, but just getting his entire body right. And I think they wanted to do things like teach him how to run, you know, in a way that, you know, his knees aren't turning in or he's putting too much stress on his back, just to put him in a position where he's not at risk for further injury. And I think that stuff we've seen teams do, you know, when guys hit their 30s or later in their career. But I think the Pelicans wanted to get that process started early so Zion can kind of, you know, put himself in a position where he didn't have to worry about fighting through these injuries throughout his whole career.
So Zion finally did make his NBA debut on January 22nd. And, you know, even with his knee bandaged up and a lot of discussion about how he was moving on the court, he really did deliver.
I mean, it was one of the craziest nights I can ever remember in an NBA arena. First of all, they're giving away T-shirts for a regular season game in January. Bred Pelicans T-shirts. They usually save those for the playoff games. But yeah, if you walked into the arena that night, they had a T-shirt on every seat in the whole building.
On the Crescent City at Smoothie King Center. It took 3 months and 44 games of recovery from knee surgery. But the wait for Zion is over.
Just to see, you know, this young phenom make his debut on national TV. And, you know, it was a slow start for him. Eventually, they get to the fourth quarter, and he just goes nuts.
They want Zion to get it. Here he is. And Hurdle blocked it. Zion gets it back and finishes. 10 points in just over a minute for Zion Williamson. By far his best stretch of the night.
He had the turnaround lob from Lonzo Ball.
Here's a lob to Zion.
Just the environment in the arena, I'll never forget. It's unlike, I mean, I've been to playoff games. I've been there when they beat the Warriors in a playoff game. I've been there, you know, when Anthony Davis put up 50, you know, against teams. And there was nothing like Zion Williamson's debut, the mass hysteria in that room when he's hitting those three-pointers. And it's like, wait, he hit a third one? He hit a fourth one?
Zion for four for four!
It was just kind of all rushing in at once, like, wow, this guy is exactly who we thought he was going to be. He's going to be this superstar. And this was kind of that first flash to show, you know, what we can come to expect for the next decade in New Orleans, hopefully. You know, you got to remember, this is a team that traded away Anthony Davis, completely rebuilt the roster, and it took them a really long time to really mesh and figure out how to play together. They started the year 6-22, lost 13 in a row, a franchise record. And right around Christmas, we saw this team kind of starting to hit their stride. Lonzo Ball starting to play better. Brandon Ingram was playing at a high level. Drew Holiday was starting to get his body back right. And then you throw Zion into the mix, and it kind of exploded.
They go to Williamson, facing up and driving and smashing the rim. Clean up on aisle five.
You know, just running off these wins. All of a sudden, they were back in the playoff race, you know, playing these great games against the Los Angeles Lakers on primetime TV. And I think they were looking like a really dangerous team. And of course, Zion was putting up these crazy numbers we've never seen from a rookie in his first 20 games. And you add that to Brandon Ingram, who made the All-Star team, Drew Holiday. It seemed like this team was really starting to put something together, and maybe they could even be a threat in the Western Conference.
But then, of course, just when things were really getting going for Zion and the Pelicans, the whole league shut down less than 2 months after Zion had finally made his debut.
And it is monster news. The NBA has suspended the season after Rudy Gobert has tested positive for coronavirus. Now, that's video.
What did Zion do during his time in quarantine?
He spent, you know, the majority of time with his family. He worked out with his stepfather at their house.
Me and my stepdad just found different ways to stay in condition, like on court, off court, just wherever we can find it.
Obviously, we saw the crazy picture in the weight room.
Earlier today, the Pelicans posted this photo of Zion on social media with a few other of his teammates writing, "Built for this."
When I saw those pictures yesterday, I thought of the villain from Batman, Bane. I mean, look at him. This guy looks phenomenal. He's ripped up. He got the mask on. He got veins poking out of his arms, his neck, his ears. He looks phenomenal.
Starting to look like the guy we remember, and maybe even in better shape. And, you know, I think people were really excited about, you know, him being this big star, this big attraction going into the bubble. And obviously there was this talk about the NBA setting up the rules so they can bring in 22 teams instead of 16 because they wanted Zion on TV. They wanted him to be a part of this big production going into the bubble. So there was a lot of excitement, and I think people wanted to kind of see him take that next step in his career.
And so it seems like this is a recurring theme with Zion. There's all this hype, all this excitement, and then something happens. And then that something in the bubble was he sort of vanished mysteriously.
The Pelicans released a statement today saying that Zion Williamson left Orlando this morning to attend to what they called an urgent family medical matter.
What have you been able to find out about why he left the bubble?
Yeah, I mean, it's still this big mystery, and I think people have really kept it low-key. I've talked to a bunch of people about it, and they really don't want to say much more than it was a family emergency. It was something he felt like he had to take care of going outside of the bubble, and he ended up spending, I think, about 10 days away from the bubble. When it comes to family, you always got to understand people don't want to put their business out there, especially Zion. He likes to keep his family stuff as private as possible, so I think that was something the Pelicans really wanted to make sure they, you know, showed him that they can kind of, you know, hold him down in that way to say, if you don't want it to be out there, then we're not going to tell anybody. And I don't think anybody has kind of revealed what it was yet.
So when Zion did eventually return to the bubble and rejoin the team, he ended up playing limited minutes. And these were really important must-win games for the Pelicans to try and make the playoffs. So why was he playing such limited minutes?
Yeah, this is a very controversial topic, you could imagine, among the Pelicans fan base. And I think for one, what the Pelicans are, they're always going to tell us is they're going to take the cautious approach with Zion. They're always going to take the long view. And they felt like specifically the time he missed was when they started to really wrap things up during practice and he missed some important moments. It was really disappointing to see, just like you said, that Utah game was huge. They ended up kind of giving it away in the fourth quarter, very winnable. They were up by 16.
For the lead, Ingram rims out and it's over. The Utah Jazz hold on. Brandon Ingram missed it on a three-pointer that would have put the Pelicans in front.
And I've heard a few people around the team say, hey, if we just play Zion that last 3 minutes, we probably win that game. And it's unfortunate because obviously now they've been eliminated from the playoffs, and kind of any game along the way, you feel like maybe it would have been the difference for them. But they're going to always say, you know, down the line is going to be more important with Zion than right now. We want to make sure he's healthy. And if they felt like he wasn't in completely the right shape, then why put him out there and put his health at risk?
How did Zion look, in your opinion, in the bubble?
Yeah, frankly, I just don't think he was in the shape he needed to be compared to, you know, even back before the shutdown. And even if you go back to Duke, I think he's obviously put on some weight. And I think that's a big question for him going forward in his career. What kind of work is he going to put in to make sure he's right? We've seen with guys like a LeBron or Chris Paul how much a priority they've put into their offseason workouts and the food they're putting into their body and their sleep schedule and all that kind of stuff to make sure they're peak physical shape. And I think Zion's just not there yet. And, you know, he's still very young. He just turned 20 years old. But I think we need to see more of that from Zion, that commitment to say, in order to bring the best out of myself and my team, I have to make sure my body's right. And he just wasn't there in Orlando. And I think that was a big part of why they disappointed.
140 given up in a game that you had to have. You had to have stops. So that's the difference. The back door.
So, Will, when you step back and look at Zion's first season here, and you see all these things that happened, the knee injury, the constant fluctuations in his weight, the mysterious exit and reentrance to the bubble, the limited minutes, what do you make of all of this? Has he just had bad luck, or is it time for all of us to start adjusting our expectations around this guy?
Yeah, I think a lot of it was bad luck. I think, you know, injuries happen. You know, that's part of it. And I think, obviously, you know, nobody could have predicted the COVID-19 situation and the league being shut down at the time it did. But I do think the narrative has shifted a little bit. You know, when it comes around Zion, I think before we were talking about him putting up these ridiculous numbers and how great can he be and how great can this Pelicans team be if he lifts them. And I do think going into the offseason, the number one conversation around him is, what is he going to look like once the season comes back? How much is his body going to change? Is he going to lose weight? Can he get that under control? And how is that going to affect the rest of his career? And a lot of that is frankly on him, that he didn't put himself in a position coming back into the bubble where this was no longer a conversation, but now it is. And that's a big question, is just how is he going to handle it and how is he going to respond? I think the great players we've seen in this league, we've seen over and over again, we watched it in the Michael Jordan doc. When the doubts happen, the greats rise. And if he can do that, then we're going to see him being one of the biggest stars in the league, and I think one of the biggest stars in sports.
Well, Will, thanks so much for coming on the show again, and hope you get some rest in this offseason.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
You can follow Will Guillory's coverage of the New Orleans Pelicans at theathletic.com. From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Andres Kelto. See you tomorrow.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.